We have a lot to be thankful for, and of course we have a lot to look forward to, as this is very close now to the feast days of the seventh month. To introduce the subject of the sermonette, let's turn over to in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll read verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Here the Messiah says, "Enter you in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that enter in through it, for narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leads to life, and few are they that find it." This is, of course, something rather astounding. This basic truth concerning salvation has deep meaning to Yahweh's people. By this analogy, Yahshua shows us just how difficult it is to walk in the way of life. It is a straight way that leads to life, and there are few who are going to find it. For each one who hears this message, do you appreciate the fact that the way of life is being taught to you from Sabbath to Sabbath, from feast day to feast day? Yahweh has delivered us from the oppression and bondage of the sins of this world and of the oppressor. He has released us from fear. He has increased our knowledge so that we might understand more fully His plan of salvation. At the heart of salvation is Yahshua the Messiah, the Word made flesh, the Lamb of Yahweh. By truly knowing Him, we can enter the narrow gate. If we go over to 1 John chapter 2, we see how the Apostle John describes what it means to know the Messiah. And of course, there are many people today who would say they know the Messiah, but John is very specific here. We start in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 2. "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin." Now we know, of course, that sin, according to 1 John 3, 4, is the transgression of the law. And so he's telling them, don't sin. And this agrees also with what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. As he said there, do we therefore continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. "And if any man sin," and of course we all have sinned, "we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." We know that Yahshua came and, of course, died with a purpose. You know, just this last week or so, they released the movie The Passion on DVD. And I don't know how many people here have seen that movie. Some are afraid to see it, and I don't blame you, because it's very graphic with the way they show how that the Messiah was tortured to death. But in any event, it's very touching, because you have to realize that Yahshua's sacrifice, His death and suffering, was for each one of us, as it describes in Isaiah 53. We have an advocate, and that advocate is Yahshua the Messiah, who sits at the right hand of Almighty Yahweh, making intercession for each one of us as we would go through prayer to Almighty Yahweh and ask those things in Yahshua's name. Verse 3, "And by this," and this is the key of the emphasis that I'm trying to bring out, "and by this we know that we know Him. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Now it shows us specifically what the commandments of the Savior were, because He taught those things which were given to Him by His Father in heaven, which in effect was the law of Almighty Yahweh. That is what He was teaching. It shows us this, for instance, if you look over in John chapter 14, as He says in verse 21, "He that has My commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves Me, and he that loves Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him." If you drop down to verse 23 at the end there, He says, "If a man loves Me, he will keep My word." And then in verse 24, "He that loves Me not keeps not My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father who sent Me." That word, of course, is Torah, is the law of Almighty Yahweh. Again in 1 John 2, as He shows that if you know Him, you will keep His commandments. And in verse 4, "He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments," again, which is the law of Yahweh, "is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If we truly know Yahshua, then we will keep the commandments and walk even as Yahshua walked. Yahshua has already entered Yahweh's kingdom. He sits at Yahweh's right hand. He is a mediator for us. When he returns, he will establish the kingdom of Yahweh upon this earth. If we are to meet him in the air when he comes again, we must walk as he walked. And the title of the sermon this afternoon is Walk as Yahshua Walked. If we look into the Hebrew Scriptures, we find that there are two words which have been translated as walk. You can check these in the lexicon of the Strong's Concordance. The first one is number 1980, which is halak, and you hear that used frequently in Judaism, to walk. The walk, or the spiritual walk, is what it refers to. The second word, which is actually the prime root, is yalak. And both of these words, in the spiritual sense, represent walking in the way of righteousness, just as Yahshua walked. Now, figuratively, it can also not only have the positive connotation, but it can also be used in a negative way, walking again in wickedness, or walking again in sin. We find that the first use of this word is found in Genesis chapter 3. Now, let's turn back there, because this, of course, is the record of what happened to Adam and Eve, how sin, of course, caused mankind to fall and caused it necessary for Yahweh to bring us the Messiah. But we look first in Genesis 3 and see how that Satan the adversary lied to the woman. He told her a half-truth, as it says in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die by eating the fruit. To literally translate it, it means dying you shall not die. Well, of course, she didn't die when she ate the fruit. But ultimately, in the flesh, she did die. And we know that the wages of sin is death, as it shows in Romans 6:23. We look down further through this passage, and we see what happened, what Yahweh pronounced, or Elohim pronounced upon the servant, the serpent, and what he prophesied for the coming Messiah. If we look first in verse 14, Genesis 3:14, as it says here, and Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Now, this is the first use of the word halak or yalak. And as it says here, shall you go. That is the word. Those three words are the translation of the word halak. Now, the snake, of course, we know that originally, as it describes here, that the serpent would have had legs, and the legs were taken away. And so it was to go upon its belly. It was to walk, so to speak, upon its belly. We see further that after this, as it shows also in this verse, that you shall go, and is it upon your belly shall you go, dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And of course, we can also see that the Scriptures show us that there are other figurative meanings for this word dust. We know, for instance, if you look in Genesis 2 and verse 7, just across the page, and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is the dust of the earth. And we know that Satan, the adversary, has had his way. He has crawled through the dust. He has deceived the people. He has caused the great multitudes of the people to be destined for death. Just as Yahshua said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that enter in. And Satan, the adversary, is the one who is trying to keep people from entering in that gate that leads to life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The woman, of course, here is Eve, the mother of all mankind. And through her seed would come the one who will bruise the head of the serpent. And, of course, a wound to the head is a mortal wound. Again, I might mention that they did take some liberties in the movie on the Passion. But one of the things that they did show is Joshua was there in the garden, finishing praying to Yahweh, and of course praying that this cup might pass from him, and knowing that it could not, and accepting what it was inevitable, that a serpent, of course, crawled up to him, and you hear him stomping it and crushing the head of the serpent. Well, that, in effect, as they did it in a form there, shows that figuratively that is exactly what Joshua did when he died. He crushed the head of the serpent. The serpent is going to die. The serpent hasn't died yet, which is Satan the adversary, but it shows, for instance, in Revelation 20, that he will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be destroyed. He will not undergo eternal punishment, but he will be destroyed, he will be burned up, and he will live no more. It says, and you shall bruise his heel. To nip at the heels, of course, is what Satan the adversary has done down through the ages to Yahweh's people, those who have sought to serve Yahweh, and especially to Yahshua the Messiah, as the adversary was at the root of the hatred which people had toward him, that they caused him to be put to death. Again, something to think about, to walk as Yahshua walked, not to go as the old serpent, Satan the devil, who crawls around in the dust of the earth seeking to destroy. Again, figuratively, Satan seeks to deceive and to destroy all mankind, just as he did to Adam and Eve. Again, when you consider Genesis 2:7, that man was formed from the dust of the earth. The seed of the woman, Yahshua, shall crush the head of the serpent. Our hope is in Yahshua. We must walk as he walked. In his walk, he crushed the head of the serpent. That's what he did. Along with Yahshua, we have many good examples of those who walked with Yahweh. And of course, we can look, if you turn over a page here to Genesis chapter 5, is it mentions Enoch. And of course, when it says walk with Yahweh, walk with Elohim, it is speaking really in the figurative sense here, doing his will, keeping his commandments, doing what is right before him. As it says here in Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and procreated Methuselah. And Enoch walked with Elohim after he procreated Methuselah 300 years and procreated sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with Elohim, and he was not, for Elohim took him. Now, many people, of course, have tried to say that Enoch was taken up into heaven. But if you look over in Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us the answer of what actually happened to Enoch here, that he actually did die, as it shows. If we look in Hebrews 11, and first at verse 5, where it mentions him, by faith Enoch was translated. And of course, if you look at that word, it means to be removed, taken away. It doesn't exactly specify where. That he should not see death, and he was not found because Elohim translated him, for he has had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well pleasing to Elohim. But what happens whenever somebody seeks to serve Yahweh? We know that the wickedness of the people was great in the time of in this time prior to the flood, and of course it ultimately ended in the destruction of the people through the flood. But Enoch walked with Elohim. He was a good man. He was a man who served Yahweh, obviously. And it shows us in the scriptures, for instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, as it says, yes, and all that would live holy in the Messiah Yahshua shall suffer persecution. Well, just by living holy, Enoch suffered persecution. But you look down here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, concerning all those that are mentioned, including Enoch, these all died in faith. Yes, even Enoch died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so it was that as Enoch walked with Elohim, he had to translate him, to preserve him, because obviously the evil people of the world wanted to destroy him because he again served Yahweh. We find also, if we go back to Genesis, and this time to Genesis chapter 6, it makes mention of Noah. As it says in Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. And there it mentions righteousness. Now, the Bible, as we know, is a book of definitions. And one of the definitions you always want to remember is the definition for righteousness. And that's found over in Deuteronomy 6, verses 24 and 25, as it says, "And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive at this day. And it shall be righteousness to us, if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as He has commanded us." And so righteousness is obedience to the law. Again, back in Genesis 6, "And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with Elohim." Again, whether we're young or whether we're old, one of the lessons in life that we need to learn is to walk with Elohim, to walk as Yahshua walked, walking with Almighty Yahweh. And we can do that through the commandments, again recognizing that our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, was the Word made flesh, and that by walking according to the commandments of Yahweh, we know, of course, that we are expressing our love for Yahweh, and we are proving ourselves to be a people who are worthy to receive the free gift of salvation that comes through Yahshua the Messiah. We can notice also, if we go over to Genesis chapter 17, another important person, and one who we look to as a spiritual forefather, Abraham. Abraham was offered entrance into Yahweh's everlasting covenant by walking in the way. Let's turn over there to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, beginning with verse 1. "And when Abram," as he was known by Abram before he became Abraham, "and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be you perfect." Walk before me and be you perfect. That's what it was all about. And what does he say? If you will do that, as it says, "And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant, which is an agreement, is with you. And you shall be the father of a multitude of nations." And truly he has been, in the physical sense. But most importantly, Abraham is a spiritual forefather as he walked with Yahweh for those of us who would also walk in the same way. "Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For the father of a multitude of nations have I made you." And it goes on here to describe that covenant. And of course it relates it in this passage to the act of physical circumcision. But we know that physical circumcision was but a sign. And what Yahweh really wanted, was for His people to be spiritually circumcised in heart. This life is a proving ground. We have to understand that. It was a proving ground not just here for us, but in all times. And if we look back to Exodus chapter 16, we can see that it was a proving ground for Israel as they were there in the wilderness. Yahweh allows us to go through tests, to be tempted, to see if we will walk in His law, to see if we will walk in the everlasting way. And again, especially for the young people of the congregation, realize that as you are young, and I'm sure that all of us who are older, we think back to the time when we were young, and probably the most difficult and tumultuous age to be is to be a teenager today, especially a young adult, especially in the world in which we live in, where there's so much sin and they are constantly doing things that do appeal to the flesh. But those things that appeal to the flesh are things which are not lasting, and in actuality are going to bring about death, just as Satan the adversary lied to Eve and crawls through the dust. So we can choose to walk the way of the serpent, which is of course a circuitous route back and forth through the dust, or we can choose to walk as Yahshua walked. If we look at Exodus chapter 16, we know that Israel was tempted there in the wilderness. They were tested. We see here in verse 1, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, If only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were hungry, and what did they do? They murmured, they lost faith. A temptation. What do we do whenever we are faced with a temptation, a difficulty? Do we lose faith? Do we complain? Look at what happens in verse 4. Then said Yahweh to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And again, we have to recognize that everything that happens to us, every temptation that we pass, causes us to be a spiritually stronger person and shows that we are walking in the way that Yahweh has set before us and keeping His commandments. And that's important that we do that, to show that we are a people of character. Yahweh is feeding us manna from heaven, His Son, the Word made flesh, Yahshua the Messiah. Will we continue to walk with Him and keep the covenant? Well, that's only a question that we ourselves can answer, and it's something that we continually have to be working on, that we don't allow ourselves to become weak and fall, and if we do fall, that we would pick ourselves up and continue on, repenting of our sins. If you go over to the book of James, or Jacob chapter 1, he describes here what it is to be tempted, and what the result is for those who go the way of the flesh. As it says here in James, or Jacob chapter 1, verse 12, Blessed is the man that endures temptation. There is a blessing. You will grow spiritually as you overcome, as you don't allow yourself to succumb to the flesh. For when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to them that love him. And that's what we want to do. We want to be an approved people. We want to overcome. We don't want to allow ourselves to succumb to the ways of the flesh. Verse 13, he says, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But this is what happens, as he explains in verse 14 and 15. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And of course, we know that that agrees with what it shows us elsewhere in the scriptures, that the wages of sin is death. Sin brings death, while obedience brings life. And of course, if we would look at a few passages in the law of Yahweh, in particular, if we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, as the law was given again prior to Israel entering the land, it says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32 and 33, You shall observe to do, therefore, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. In other words, don't go as the snake goes, back and forth, as Satan the adversary. You shall walk in all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you, that you may live. Walk in the way that Yahweh has commanded, and you will have life, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which Yahweh, the land which you shall possess. And of course, that points toward the kingdom that is to come. If we turn a page over to Deuteronomy 8, he emphasizes the same thing here concerning keeping the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. And of course, we can start here with verse 3. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, as we read that in Exodus 16, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, by physical food, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. That's where life comes from. Your raiment did not wear out on you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years, and you shall consider in your heart that as a man corrects his son, so Yahweh corrects you, and you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Again, that spiritual walk is described there. If we forget Yahweh and walk in another way, ultimately we will perish. And that's what it describes in the remainder of this chapter. Verse 11, "Beware lest you forget Yahweh your Elohim in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day." And then he goes down here and shows ultimately that those who do forget will be destroyed. If we look in verse 18, "But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he that gives you power to acquire wealth." And ultimately, as it shows here in verse 19, "And it shall be, if you forget Yahweh your Elohim and walk after other Elohim," in other words, to leave off from worshiping Yahweh and to go another way and serve them and worship them, "I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." And so we have a choice of life. We have a choice of death. We can look in conclusion over here in Jeremiah chapter 6 as we consider what Almighty Yahweh spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. And of course, the prophet Jeremiah, as he prophesied to Judah prior to the captivity, the ministry which he had was one that is very similar to those who are preaching the truth in these end days. As he preached to a people who were ready to go in captivity, so we know that this message of truth must go out before the time of the end, so that the people would hear and believe and forsake the ways of sin. But it says here in Jeremiah 6, in verse 16, "In this manner says Yahweh, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." Are we doing that? We are trying to regain. We are not trying to have something new, but we are trying to regain the truth of Yahweh. "Where is the good way? And walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls." And of course, as it concludes here, "But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set before you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. And they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not listened to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it." And of course, that kind of leads us up to where we'll be this next Thursday, Feast of Trumpets, as the sound of the trumpet will go forth. And of course, figuratively, that sound of the trumpet represents a cry from the heavens to repent, to be called back to Yahweh. But it should be our goal, again, that we would stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths, the good ways, and walk in them and find rest for our souls and ultimately find life. And that's what it's all about. So may Yahweh be with us, especially over the next few days, that we are prepared to meet with Almighty Yahweh on the Feast of Trumpets, and let us learn to walk as Yahshua walked in the way that Yahweh has laid before us. May Yahweh bless you.